If you have any questions or concerns about this week's episode, please call or text producer Dan at 778-288-9255.
Start the party, Dan.
Time to turn it up. Get crazy, going wild, fucking nasty stuff. Dude scrolling down the site, fucked up. Fire, boom, roast, mad puff, sticking up the replies. We don't want to go to school. We don't want to get a job. We just want to get online and get our asses blocked. We don't follow the rules. We do whatever we want. It's Block Party, the podcast, like we're tweeting a duck. Quack.
Hello, friends, idiots, and friends who are also idiots. Welcome to your favorite podcast about social media and rejection. It is Block Party. This is episode number 278. I'm John.
I'm Stefan.
And with us is a great guest, an in-person guest, a first-time guest as well, Calgary, Alberta, Canada's own. Very funny comedian, Austin Lonneberg, is here. Hi, Austin.
Hi,
Austin.
John. Hello, Stefan. I don't know why I called you Cullen, almost. and Cullen, the two hosts of Block Party.
John and Cullen. Are you? Yeah, I feel like you've called me Cullen before.
I don't know if I have. It's very sportsy.
It is sportsy, but we play hockey.
We talked about it. That is like your hockey nickname, right, John? It's just your
Cullen,
last name.
Yeah, just Cullen mostly.
Not like Cullsy? Yeah. Not like an actual hockey nickname?
So it was funny because when I grew up playing, it was always just Cullen.
Yeah.
And then there was a summer where I played with some ex-junior guys and they all called me Culzy.
So maybe that's a thing where like...
It's like, oh no.
Yeah. When you play junior hockey, like you have to do that for a nickname.
You have to get Culzy. Yeah. Because it was like the two guys on the team, the one guy's last name was Santiago. So obviously Sanny.
Okay.
And then the other guy's last name was Vanderhook. So obviously Hooksy.
Hooksy. I mean, you can go a lot of ways with Vanderhook. You could go a lot of directions.
You could go Vandy too, but yeah. I mean, Hooksy's kind of
like Jim Vandermeer. I feel like he must have been Vandy, right?
Yeah. I doubt he was Mearsy. He was probably Vandy.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Right. Hexy is pretty good.
Hexy's good.
Rhymes with sexy.
Yeah. I mean, I think Dan's would be great as well, obviously.
Yeah.
Producey.
I love envisioning Dan playing sports at all.
Like, yes.
I mean, you've seen me play sports.
For like 40 seconds, I saw you dribble a basketball and then almost die of a heart attack.
In fairness, he was dribbling the basketball while smoking a cigarette and holding a drink, I think. So, it's actually more impressive, I think.
And with an unzipped jacket and baggy pants. There was just like a lot of encumbering things that were happening. Did you ever play hockey, Dan? Can you skate?
I can skate, but I never played hockey, no.
Okay. Yeah. Austin and I, we played hockey once. Because this has been a tragedy a little bit. This is, I would imagine, Austin, I mean, you're from Calgary. This has got to be probably the worst outdoor rink season in memory.
It's been really, it's been too bad. It's been too warm. You can't do any winter stuff, but it's not nice enough to do summer stuff. It kind of sucks.
Yeah, we got we went to the ODR one day.
Yeah.
And it felt like that was kind of the only time this winter you could go. Because the only other time
we've had the same amount of outdoor rink stuff as you. Well,
the only other time it was frozen, it was like minus 40. So you couldn't.
Yeah. Minus a million degrees. Yeah. Also, it's, I don't know. I don't like playing sports not often enough because I just get too sore.
Did you get sore after the ODR game?
I started working out on account of I need to just like not be sore after everything I do.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So you're working out now.
Big gym guy now.
You're a big gym guy? Okay. Oh, no offense, but you don't seem like a gym guy to me. But I guess actually that's a compliment.
Probably. I go late at night when no one else is there because the weights are too small to feel comfortable lifting them in front of people.
Yeah. So I think if I was a gym guy, I would be going very early in the morning or very late at night, I think, as well.
Yeah, there's even a clean lady in there, and I don't like it. It makes me nervous. She's and she understands. She leaves. After I've worked out for like 10 minutes, she's like, I don't want to see this.
I think basically the only people who are going to the gym at like 1 a.m. are like, if you're kind of like, you know, not super comfortable with like working out in front of people, or if you're John Travolta.
Is that what he does?
He famously, there's a lot of like pictures of him where it's like, oh, I saw John Travolta at my gym. And it's like some like hot young stud who was working out at like 2 a.m. or something. And then John Travolta's just there with him as well. So.
You know. Is it like related to him being like a pervert type?
Definitely.
Yeah. Do you see any pervs at the gym? Like when you're there late night?
No, it's just me and the cleaning lady.
That's it.
Yeah. And know what the, it's an uncomfortable relationship.
Do you say hi?
Yeah, I wave and then she just wipes the equipment. But it's, I don't know, the first time I showed up, I was like, I'll be late enough. It's 8. And then there's other people there and I had to leave.
Oh, damn. So when do you go usually? Like how late?
Like 9.
Okay.
8:39 at least, yeah.
Here, Dan, put
that's
this.
That's not crazy late, but that's late enough, I guess, where people are like.
The story is really good because of the headline. The headline is so funny here.
Oh, is this the John Travolta?
Yeah.
Okay, Dan, you're going to bring that up for us?
Yeah, give me 1 second here.
Okay, no problem.
By the way, great shirt, Dan. Really great shirt.
Oh, thanks.
It's a mini in death culture, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Austin good. And I are, we're both kind of going, we're going music today here.
Okay.
That's a great Knocked Loose shirt. Very good band.
Yeah. Austin's got Knocked Loose. I've got the Alexis on Fire tie-dye heart skull here. I love the lead here. Hi, yeah. I'm John. He said, that's exactly how it happened.
See, that's what's very John Travolta about the story to me is that he introduced himself.
Oh, yeah. That is very perverted. That you can, yeah. Like, he's trying to, you know.
We know what's happening.
John Travolta pervert stuff.
For sure. Yeah.
Because he was like a massage parlor guy or something. Was that what
he had some issues with various masseuses, I believe.
What were the issues?
Well, they're not great. Yeah, I'm not saying he had like.
Could you say what the issues were and sort of say them from a first person perspective?
Well, no,
just so I can understand them a little bit.
No,
better.
I'm just saying they're not like back problems, you know, or shoulder problems. They're things that happen at the massage.
Front problems.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm having some problems with my front.
Man, but John Travolta is one of those guys now who is like only in like direct to DVD or direct to streaming shit. And it's like so insane. He was in one recently. I think our friend DB was watching it where he's like a sheriff or something. And he looks so fucking funny in it because he's got the look now where he's like, he's got the shaved head and like the goatee. And it just looks. He did in this movie at least, but he looks so bad. Let me, Dan, can you bring up John Travolta's IMDb page, please?
I feel like him and Steven Seagal are like morphing into the same guy.
Yeah.
That's actually a good call. Yeah. Do we have any pictures of John Travolta holding a big carrot or whatever?
Oh my God. Have you seen the video of Steven Seagal getting a bunch of big fruit and vegetable from like a Belarusian mobster?
I don't think I've seen that.
Politician?
Oh, it's pretty
awesome. We might have to watch that also. Okay, yeah. So what has he done recently?
Cash Out.
That's going to be bad.
Goddard.
I think Mobland is the one I was thinking of.
Sheriff Bodie Davis.
Die Hard is also the one where I keep getting on my Roku.
Do you not get sued over that?
Well, it's on my Roku TV. I keep getting ads for it. You know how like on Roku, there's like the main menu and then like there's ads for all the Roku shit on there. So this is on there constantly, and it's like a Kevin Hart action comedy TV show where he plays himself.
Kevin Hart playing himself, trying to become an action star with John Travolta.
John Travolta's second build in 2024, not great. But yeah, I think like the Steven Seagal observation is very good because I think Steven Seagal's been doing bad movies for longer, maybe.
Oh, for sure.
But they're very, we've had fun.
Seagal ever do a good movie?
I mean, like, Under Siege, I think, is a good action movie. Like, he's done a few good action movies, but it's just that he's like.
I guess Exit Wounds was kind of sick with DM, but that was because DMX was.
Did we talk about on here the clip from Stephen Tobolowsky's podcast where he talks about filming a movie with Steven Seagal?
I don't know if we did or not.
And tells a story about. I mean, like I'm legitimately down to watch it on here. It's like 3 minutes, and it's him telling maybe the funniest Steven Seagal anecdote I've ever heard.
Sure.
Well, there's a few really funny ones. There was one, I forget who told it, but Steven Seagal, he's like notoriously difficult to work with, right? Because he's like a huge,
what?
Yeah, he's like a total asshole, if you can believe it.
I can't. I know. Always thought he was kind of just a cool dude.
I know. It's really hard to believe. But there's one where he was basically like tricked into like walking off, like they're filming a scene on a boat or something. And there was a door on the side of the boat that just went into the water. Like there was no landing on the other side of the door. And the director basically like tricked him into opening it and walking into the ocean. So that was great. I'm going to see, Dan, did you find the Stephen Tobolowsky thing or do you want me to find it?
It's something you would find it. So I wouldn't have to.
I've got it right here. I've got it right. Yeah.
It was like, I have it bookmarked actually. It was very easy for me to get.
This is like, This is so fucking funny. And also, I think this is like an interview he's doing, but Stephen Tobolowsky has like a podcast where he just talks about, because he's like one of the great like character actors, right?
Yeah, yeah. He's been in a bunch of stuff.
So he has like so many good stories on his podcast, but this, I think, is his best one, and it's extremely funny.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. You want me to play that now?
Yeah, we honestly should just listen. It's so fucking
funny. This is 5 minutes.
I know, but it's, please. I promise you it's worth it. It's so funny.
So we're just going to sit here and listen to this for six
minutes. Well, we can talk about it too.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Obviously. That's fine.
Yeah.
Steven is a big man.
That's a good start.
Yeah. Strong, very tall. Dan, can you turn it up a little?
Huge.
Thank you.
Everything he did with an enormous amount of passion.
God, yeah, I forgot about his band too.
I never forget about his band. It's so always insane. Remembering it.
Conflicting results.
I feel like my introduction to Steven Seagal was when he was being a cop.
Cast in the film.
Oh, like an actual cop. Right.
Yeah.
I don't know how actual he was, but he had a show about being an actual cop.
Yeah, where he was like a sheriff or something, I think. Movie.
First day, and John Gray, the director, comes in to my trailer and says, "So, how's everything going?" I go, "Well, fine, John, fine. We're having a problem." I go, "What's wrong?" He says, "Well, Steven Seagal has had a spiritual sort of crisis and sort of a spiritual awakening. He decided that he doesn't want to kill people anymore in movies."
I can't tell me now. Warner Brothers. Well, there was that actor recently who said he wouldn't kiss girls in movies anymore.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And it really just reads like his wife or fiance caught him cheating.
That's, yeah. I think that's what happened. Yeah. This is just him. I think he still is a Buddhist, I believe.
Yes.
But this is when it started.
In the scene, I was playing a serial killer, and the whole scene is about him killing me. So John says, Steven Seagal is going to try to convince you not to kill you in this scene. Don't get into a conversation with him. Whatever you do, don't talk to him. He has to kill you. I mean, the first day of shooting. This is very difficult for all films and actors. You know, they want to see good footage the first day. I said, "Well, I'll steer clear of Steven." So we got called to the set, and that was the first time I met Steven on the set. And he came up to me, and he had that cool persona that, what do you think about this scene? And I was saying, "Well, Steven, it's pretty hard-hitting scene. In this scene, by the way, I play a serial killer, and I grab a priest, and I threaten to blow his head off, and then Steven comes in and ends up murdering me." So
I think it's a pretty intense scene. I love that scripting.
"I think it would probably be better if I don't kill you." I said, I hear you. And Steven says, "I think it's just bad that we keep putting this violence into the world. I mean, we're creating sicker and sicker society by putting this kind of thing out into the world." I said, "I understand that, Stephen, but this case may be an exception. I'm looking at my life as a serial killer, and I feel I'm trapped in this broken soul that I'm inhabiting. And it would really help me in terms of my reincarnational development if you could kill me, and then I would be able to leave this body and actually transcend into a better life, into a better body. You would actually be helping. So I would be giving you a helping hand?" I said, "Oh, you'd be giving everybody a helping hand. You'd be removing evil from the world. You'd be giving me a new chance at life in a new body sometime in the near future." "I never thought of it that way. All right, I'll kill you in this scene."
I can't. You don't understand. Go ahead and kill me. Kill me. I dare you. Kill me.
Do it now or I will kill you. You believe it? One. This is
God's house. Don't make me do this.
Please.
Don't.
Three.
And I fall out of frame. 2 months later, I get a phone call from John saying, "We have a problem." Steven started ad-libbing in the rest of the film how he's glad he didn't kill the guy in the church. "You could come back in and in ADR make it seem like you're not dead." So I go back in. I'm going to loop a scene, and Kenan Ivory Wayans is standing next to me. He's watching what I have to loop. So this is what they have. They have me backing up to camera, Steven pulling up a gun, firing. My entire chest explodes, like my heart explodes, like blood flies out of the camera, and I fall out of frame, and smoke rises into the thing as Steven Seagal walks into the shot, and John Gray whispers, "Now, right here, if you could say something to make it sound like you're still alive." I said, "Say something to make it sound like I'm still alive, like, it's just a flesh wound." It's like an Austin Powers moment.
"I'm still alive, only I'm badly burned."
I ended up shouting up, "Finish me off, you son of a bitch. Come on, don't leave me like this. Kill me." It was horrible. Kenan Ivory Wayans just looked at me and said, "Man, now we are in the realm of high comedy." And he walked off. In the end, I think they just left it to where Steven killed me. I think they cut out all of my extraneous lines.
Todd. Wow. It's like, I think that's the best Steven Seagal anecdote for sure. But it does make me want to go watch like some of his recent movies, because that was like during his prime, right? So imagine how bad his movies are now.
Well, because I think it's like the thing with that is he's obviously a big enough movie star that he can just say, I'm not gonna kill anybody.
Oh, yeah.
And everyone's just like, all right,
yeah,
we'll figure it out.
It's weird that he was the A-side for sure, right? Like, he was the guy they're promoting with the movie.
Oh yeah.
Well, he must have like the longest ever direct to video, because he'd been direct to video for
a long time.
30 like, years at this point.
Yeah, like at least since like for sure since like the early 2000s, right? Like, I feel like was he in a movie with DMX? I want to
Exit Wounds. I was talking about that earlier.
Right.
Well, you got to be direct to video.
That was definitely in the theater. Okay, I'm looking at his IMDb right now. I'm just
that was like his last like big movie, I feel like, you know. Because now all of his movies
2019, it was called Beyond the Law.
Well, yeah. General Commander,
same year. Oh, he's got a movie called China Salesman, which that
a lot of his movies now are filmed in like Romania or whatever Eastern European like enclave he lives in now for various reasons.
He's in a movie where his character is named Polly Trunks.
Yeah, man, that's
called Gutshot.
Dan, are you able to bring up his IMDb? Because it is a great thing to go through. Because
I already brought the shit up. Come on, man.
No, I know, but I'm just
trying to see what the last one would have been.
Like
that
an
was
actual,
in,
like in theaters.
In theaters, there's one here called Into the Sun that looks like maybe it was in theaters.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe not. The director is just called Mink. In all lowercase.
It's a misspelling of Minsk, the Belarusian city it was shot in.
Wow. Good. That's a good joke. That's a smart joke for this show. Having to know what the capital of Belarus is.
It's one Belarusian city I know.
I would say Half Past Dead, I think, was in theaters, I want to say. I feel like I recognize that one. And that is 2002.
Oh, I have to have IMDb Pro to see the box office.
Maybe The Foreigner. Probably 2003.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because he was a fake cop on TV in like 2006-ish.
Yeah.
So although, I feel like you got to be out of the box office for a few years before they.
Well, I will say that. So his character name in that is Jonathan Cold, which is really good. But second billing on this is some guy named Harry Van Gorkum. So I don't know that this went to theaters necessarily.
No, there's no way. I like his. If you go to his Wikipedia, it has a whole table that says whether he's director, producer, writer, or actor. Because I guess he's done all of those things a lot of times.
Right. Yeah.
And a lot of them you'll notice say limited release.
Yes.
A lot of them. Where he's like, technically, I was in the box office.
So he had limited release for Dragon Squad in 2005. Okay. His first wide release since 2002 was in
Machete.
2010 Machete.
Okay.
But he's not Steven Seagal movie.
Yeah, he's just in that as he's like got a cameo in that probably.
Yeah, they just thought it'd be funny to have Steven Seagal in that.
Right,
yeah.
Cuz Robert De Niro is the main and Danny Trejo.
Yeah.
Steven Seagal has second billing. Wow. It's Danny Trejo and then Steven Seagal.
Has he been in any of the Expendables movies? Because that feels like something that would have happened by now.
No, they must have offered it to him. But
I think if they offered it to him, he would have done it. I feel like maybe he's actually that much of an asshole that they wouldn't even give him the Expendables.
Right.
Which is fucking crazy because those movies have like everyone you could possibly think of in terms of like 80s and 90s guys, right?
I like that the note on his Saturday Night Live is and crew found him difficult to work with. And the creator of Saturday Night Live, Lorne Michaels, referred to him as the worst host ever.
Bob Odenkirk has a good interview on Howard Stern where he talked. I think a lot of SNL guys have done interviews where they talk about, you know, who is the worst guest host ever. And everyone says Steven Seagal, everyone who was there for it, because he specifically did he like basically wrote his own sketch, and it was just him going into like, there was like a board meeting for like an oil company. Cause at this point, Steven Seagal had become like an environmentalist as well.
Okay.
And it's just him like beating everyone up at the board meeting. And then he looks at the camera and is like, save the earth or something. And it's like, there's not even a joke. It's just him. Like,
I kind of like that. That's a good, I'm on board with that sketch. Yeah.
I mean, I'm on board with like the political side of it for sure. But it's just like, they were just like, I guess we'll do this. Sure. And it's, and it's him, like no one else from SNL is in it. Cause it's all like stunt people who can like take a hit and take a punch. So it's just him like wailing on guys for like 2 minutes. And like, that's it.
That's kind of sick.
He's like renounced his citizenship or something, right?
Yeah. So because he lives in.
Yeah, he's a Russian guy.
Russia, I think, which is, that's a great place to be living right now.
It's cool. Yeah.
Well, I think it's like very, I think like he's get, like they respect him as like a martial arts guy, kind of broadly as a society. He's not Steven Seagal direct to video. He's Steven Seagal, a keto master, which is like.
Yeah.
Bigger, I guess.
I think you're right. I mean, when Dan gets back, Dan is shitting right now, I think.
Yeah, but, he says BRB taking a fucking crap.
Yeah, but when he gets
on his screen,
when he gets back, we can show you the just the images of him receiving like a huge carrot and a big melon from I think the president of Belarus.
Oh, so it's like a prize. It's like a key to the city, but it's a carrot.
Yeah. it's really
cool.
Strange to look
it's
at.
Really cool. We've never, like, block parties should get something like that. I want to be handed a giant fruit
for real. I mean,
or a big veggie.
Like, how big a carrot are we talking?
Oh, big.
It's huge. It's the biggest carrot you've ever seen.
Like arm, like a whole arm almost.
It's massive. Yeah.
It's the fat, like all the way around.
The other thing is like, if you watch, and maybe we can watch a quick trailer for one of his recent ones, because there's one specifically that I think was filmed in Romania and is like set in Romania. Well, no, that would be great. It's very clear that he is sitting down for as much of the movie. Yeah,
we talked about this before, but he's like, there's like one entire like fight scene where he's
just sitting in like a computer chair basically,
and he's just like backing up, like rolling back in the chair, like punching a guy.
I think it's like in his contract how long he's supposed to be in the chair in the movie. And then there's a scene, I mean, I'll look for the trailer right now so we can get Dan to play it, but
he doesn't like standing, or is it because he thinks he's like knows it is kind of cool to fight in the chair?
I think he's just like a very lazy old man.
He can't stand anymore. Yeah, it's because he's lazy.
Well, because there's the other clip of him at the martial arts competition where he's like throwing the guys around and everyone's like applauding for him, but they're just like running up to him and like throwing themselves away from him. Yeah. And he's like not doing anything, but everyone's like pretending like he's this great martial arts master. Cause I think he was at one point fairly proficient in martial arts, I believe.
Well, and to be honest, that's the kind of thing that would make me feel like I might want to renounce my citizenship. If people were just like, I respect this guy so much, I pretend to fight him, fly across the room, he's beating my ass publicly.
Yeah. No, absolutely. But
I mean, that's happened for me.
There's
I go somewhere and it looks like I'd be like, maybe I do a comedy show. Then there's like a fake heckler in the audience. Then he like charges the stage and I like punch him. And then everybody's like, oh my God, this comedian is so sick. He's so
cool. That could be good. I would go
viral, I think, for sure. If I got like attacked by a heckler, but then I like sleep them on stage, just like one shot.
Yeah.
I'm onto something here. I'm going to fucking do that. That's going to go viral for sure.
That's great.
Yeah, comedian attacked by heckler. You want to talk about like comedian destroys heckler? I literally will. I will concuss them and sleep them.
So the movie is Contract to Kill.
Okay.
And there's one specific moment in it where it cuts to him driving a car, and he looks like, what's the cat from SNL? Toons is the cat, where they green screen the moving scenery behind the car, and then like the fake arms driving. He looks like Toons is the cat when he's driving. So Dan, sorry to make you put another thing up there. How was your crap, by the way?
It's not important. We don't need to talk about that.
Steven Skull criticized her.
That would probably kill you.
I still haven't seen the carrot.
We got to show Austin.
We do. Oh yeah, hold on. Let me. Steven Seagal carrot.
Yeah, we haven't seen
Steven Austin. Seagal given carrots and watermelon in Belarus. Yeah, there you go. Here's the video for that. Also,
I'll play that one first.
Play that one first. This is from
Austin needs to see the carrot.
Alexander Lukashenko, who's like a big like Belarusian strongman. I think he's like a
president.
Yeah, I think he's like a Putin crony kind of guy. You know what I mean? Like super
so strong lifting the carrot.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, when you see the carrot, it's
you wouldn't
it's
have to
really
go to the gym anymore if you had these carrots at home.
Yeah. There's a big ass carrot. There's an even bigger one. I feel like actually.
I feel like there's a bigger carrot than that. They're just peeling the carrot.
Yeah. And what is he fucking wearing? Also,
he's wearing a zucchini thing. He wears it all the time.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, that was good.
The watermelon, I think, is also he's holding the watermelon in a very funny way coming up here.
This is my bias for sure. I didn't realize they had watermelons in Belarus. I thought they
that is surprising. Yeah, it might not be a watermelon. Watermelon. Oh no, yeah. It is a watermelon. Yeah, okay.
And they just go get
it. It's like he's like never seen one before.
You know what? I think I'm right. This is like their only one. They're like, touch it. See? See what happens if you tap it?
I just can't get over them like peeling the carrots and handing them.
And then the way he bites it as well is so funny.
I feel like I remember the carrot being bigger than that.
I thought it was bigger as well, but I think it's more just like the very funny thing of him immediately taking the huge bite out
the
of
bite
it.
Is okay. Yeah, the bite is so funny.
The bite is really good.
But the trailer...
I didn't realize this was just going to be an entire episode about Steven Seagal.
I think once we start talking about him, it's just like...
There's other things I know that I want to bring up, like when he said he taught the UFC fighter how to kick a guy.
Oh, yes. Oh, I don't know. Great. I don't know if I know that one.
Anderson Silva kicked the guy in the face, knocked him out. It was cool. Yeah. And then afterwards, I interviewed Steven Seagal. He's like, I taught him that.
It was just like a teep kick, wasn't it? Just like a front kick?
Yeah. It was like, if you were to tell a kid, like, kick somebody in the face, it'd be how they would try to do it.
Sure,
like,
it's not, oh my God. That's
I'm
really
sure there's
good.
Techniques I don't understand to it, but it doesn't seem complicated.
Doesn't seem like Steven Seagal was like, this is how you kick.
I also feel like Anderson Silva probably
knew it.
Probably picked that up somewhere else, right? Like he's, you know, one of the best fighters of all time. I don't think he's learning from Steven Seagal, but the trailer is a movie called Contract to Kill. It looks awful. I've been meaning to watch it for a while.
Oh, Gemma Dallander is in it.
Yes. Yeah, that's right, John.
I don't know who that is.
It's like so obvious. Like he barely moves in this trailer, and this is 2016. So like his more recent stuff. Although you said his last one was 2019, right?
2019. So
he
has
two in 2019.
Two in 2019. Then I guess after COVID, he's just like, I'm out.
Yeah, or he's doing movies that are so bad they don't even qualify to appear on IMDb.
That could be possible.
Could be possible. But yeah, here we. It's very funny to see this on Rotten Tomatoes Indie. I guess it is technically an indie film.
He's a bad one, John. CIA trained. The Crimea airline bomber.
Great looking explosion there.
Yeah, really good looking explosion.
Innocent people on board.
Who is the target?
So I guess you're back.
I guess you're back.
Islamic extremists. These guys are attempting to form an unholy alliance with cartels.
And that brings you to me.
He's sitting.
Be reckoned with.
He's standing there, moving very slowly. Sitting.
My own gear, and I'll need a jet.
Still sitting.
An elite team.
You must be John Harmon.
Might have a job for you.
What do you propose we do?
Leaning on a car.
Beautiful.
Sitting. Here's the sitting fight.
Yeah.
If we don't, we kill.
Why? I like that he's just talking like that.
Oh, just sleepwalking. Like,
I'm John Harmon.
Because he always had that sort of gravelly deep voice, right?
Yes, but now he's clearly just like old and leaning all the way into it.
Yeah, can barely talk. Yeah.
One.
I'm back. I'm going to kill this guy.
Lose him now.
Sitting in a car shooting.
Yeah.
I just can't let you come into America.
Like, he's like barely talking.
You know that you fed him too much. Well, that's kind of how we do. Just call your brother.
You get standing or talking, never both at the same
time.
Yeah. I'll sit and do the line.
What's the play? I'm going to give my partner back.
Like, what did he say there?
I don't know. Well, the guy, he's like, Sean Cooper, and he was like, I'm Sean Senior.
Yeah.
The wrong thing.
We should do a whole pod where we just do that Steven Seagal voice. Contract
to kill. I mean, we should do a Steven Seagal movie for a bonus episode, I think, at some point. Because we haven't done a bad movie episode for a while, I feel like.
Yeah, and that's good.
Well, I know.
Aware they're like essentially comedies at this point?
I mean, I think that's maybe why he stopped making them.
Somebody told him.
Yeah, because I mean, he looked that bad.
Reviews are in, sir.
Like, I think, like, there's just no chance. Like, he has to know, right? Like, he's not, I don't think he's, like, a particularly smart guy, but he's, like, so full of himself.
He knows he's not in his prime anymore. He's like, look, I get it. I'm not the old Steven Seagal, but I'm still doing the thing. They're action movies, first and foremost.
Yeah, I mean, I think
someone did tell him that maybe one got, like, reviewed better. And yeah, like, this is actually a pretty funny movie.
Yeah, I just think like he has to know, right? Like if you see him just like barely moving, barely talking, and that was 2016. Like a 2019 one's going to be worse. And I do think probably COVID did play a role, but it's interesting he's not even doing like the directed DVD schlock anymore, right?
Well,
whereas John Travolta still is.
I'm looking at the IMDb for Contract to a Kill, and apparently it's about weapons of mass destruction in 2016.
Yes. Yeah.
Islamic extremists will make an alliance with a Mexican cartel to smuggle WMD and terrorists into USA. Harman's asked to prevent this. He starts in Istanbul with his team. That's all it says.
That's all it says. Okay. Yeah,
Its score on Metacritic is 3.
Okay.
So I'm just trying to bring that up.
I
right
thought
now.
That was the count of reviews. That was actually what I thought. Yeah,
it's got 22 critic reviews. It does look like it doesn't look like anybody well known is reviewing this here, but.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. Let's see what Phil Wheat over at Nerdly says. This is,
his latest direct to DVD effort. I think effort is a little strong of a word for.
Yeah,
if my math is correct, Contract to Kill is the 10th film for Waxman and Seagal, with more announced slash on the way. Had to happen eventually, didn't it? Waxman and Seagal couldn't keep up their winning streak forever. And sadly, Contract to Kill is the weak link in their admittedly very long cinematic chain. Their run of good, if not great, movies has ended. And unfortunately, it had to be the one film that also featured Russell Wong in his first action role in years. But yes, he doesn't even really say why it's bad. He just says there's only so many lone wolf hero films featuring an aging Seagal that you can see. However, the sheer dullness of what unfolds on screen makes Contract to Kill one of the most unsatisfying Seagal movies since his heavily body doubled films of the mid to late 2000s. But even those had a ridiculous to them that at least made them enjoyable to watch regardless. Oh, and apparently he doesn't like, there's love scenes in this as well, makes me want to see that. But hey, despite the shoddy plot and dreary execution, at least Contract to Kill sees Seagal get to have a love scene with I Spit on Your Grave 2's Gemma Dallander, who is a part of Seagal's team in more ways than one. Yeah, like anyone wants to see that. Stick to clumsily kicking ass, Seagal, and leave the love scenes to someone else.
Holy shit.
And that it sounds like he was a fan of the other
and
film.
He's like eviscerating him. Hey, he's you like, fat piece point, of I shit. No one wants to see you having sex. By the way, I'm a huge fan of, of your movies.
This is from AV Club, the rare Steven Seagal movie to open in American theaters. Okay, so it did make American theaters.
Okay. How many theaters, though?
Wow, that's who knows. It is so crude and anti-cinematic, so fucking bad that it becomes its own parody. It is a treasure, as are all of the god-awful movies put out by the one-time black belt with the help of his dedicated team of whatever sure men.
I love one-time black belt, like the AV club took it away.
Yeah, one-time black belt.
We've stripped you of your black belt, Steven Seagal.
Oh, Stefan, you'll love this line. It is he's talking about his outfit. He walks stiffly and very slowly. It is possible that he never once bends at the waist. Most of the movie, he spends sitting down or walking again slowly up and down flights of stairs. There is a love scene, and Jesus, what a love scene. His fully dressed body is lowered over a naked woman like a drawbridge.
That's so fucking good. Oh my God.
He doesn't take off his glasses. He never takes off his glasses. Also, he doesn't drive, which is a shame because it is well documented that Seagal is the worst fake driver in Hollywood.
Well, you saw the one clip of it there, I think, briefly.
Overall, he gives the kind of performance traditionally associated with stars who died during filming.
Oh my God. That's really good. That's such a good line. Oh my God.
This is a great review. This is by Ignati Vishnevetsky.
That's really, really fucking funny. Holy shit.
Yeah, this is really, really good stuff. There is an excruciatingly long early scene in which John Harmon is menaced by a remote controlled drone with a plastic assault rifle glued to the bottom. Oh, this is really good. God. Yeah,
we have to watch this, I think.
The star only plays wise, throat-chopping badasses, but he can't be bothered to stand up or learn his dialogue. He speaks every line as though he were hazily remembering it with plenty of uhs and ums.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I think we legitimately need to do this for a bonus episode. It sounds too good to pass up. The other one, so I'm looking through his IMDb here, and you guys know... Tim Heidecker has that
Cinema.
Well, yeah, but he has like the 80s action movie, like parody character.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what the character's name is?
No.
It's Decker. Would you like to guess what Steven Seagal's character's name is in End of a Gun, where he plays a mall security guard and former federal agent?
Decker.
It is Decker.
Oh, man. Do you think that Seagal knows?
I don't know. So that was 2016. I think Decker was might have been before that, because it was at the start of On Cinema, I feel like. But also, like, you know, Heidecker, Decker is where he gets it from. But
what?
That's so funny, though. Oh my God. A mall security guard and former federal agent crosses paths with a drug kingpin's enforcer after he saves a woman from danger. And this is another Waxman production.
What year is that one from?
This is from 2016.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's wild that they are doing like a Paul Blart Mall Cop, but they saw that and they're like, but not funny. Not even trying to be funny.
No, yeah. I mean, I think it'll be funny.
I think it's probably funnier.
They made a second Paul Blart and they're like, they're making two Mall Cop movies. We could do one of those for sure. People are loving Mall Cops. Well, because didn't Seth Rogen do a Mall Cop one too?
He did, what's it called again? That one's a bit more like, he plays like a psycho. It is like a comedy, obviously. What was that called?
So Steven Seagal must have been like, mall cops are having a moment. I'm gonna get into it.
It's a very funny movie.
So Observe and Report is 2009. The original Paul Blart is also 2009, and the second Paul Blart is 2015. So for sure Steven Seagal was like, there's three Mall Cop movies. I gotta be, let me be
Paul Blart
Mall
trilogy,
Cop.
Paul Blart 1, 2, and Steven Seagal. I can't even remember what it's called anymore.
God, I'm looking at like the goof section of End of a Gun. There's some
End of a Gun.
See, it's not even mall related.
No. Yeah.
When Decker grabs the first security guard at the parking garage, his nose and forehead are bloodied before he's even been struck once. This is my favorite one here. This is listed under revealing mistakes. When Gage goes to the attorney to release the impounded car, the attorney gets back to him and tells him that Martin Decker took the car from the impound yard. However, Seagal's character is named Michael Decker. I guess it's possible that he got the name wrong because he didn't know. But like, I think that's actually just like a scripting error, probably.
God.
Oh, that my rocks. God. That's really funny. Fuck.
Well, maybe we'll watch one of those at some point.
I think we might have, speaking of
the End of a Gun, let's move on to our social media updates.
What a fucking good segue. Now let's popped up in your feed? Who are you following? What did you see? Sports or politics, tweets and skis, hot takes on the TL or fast food freaks? It's our social media update.
Austin, we always like to start with the guest. What's going on your social media?
On my social media, I keep getting tricked by a type of TikTok video. I'm sure you guys are familiar. It's a type of video on TikTok where the top half is the video and the bottom half is Minecraft gameplay.
Yeah.
Or GTA 5 gameplay.
Yeah. Or it's like the Temple Run or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
And what's been happening is I've TikTok now is it believes I'm quite the misogynist because I've never seen a good video, like a positive video with the Minecraft gameplay. It's always, and I'll get engrossed and then I'm like, oh shit, I'm watching a lot of Andrew Tate right now.
Right.
And I don't know. Do you guys know if they make the gameplay videos without the either financial advice from a 24-year-old millionaire type guy or like a Jordan Peterson women suck video?
I think it's all stuff like that or like those like fake podcasts that aren't actually podcasts, yes, but they'll just film like a clip to go viral, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
So I don't know that it's ever anything really
So someone is taking a clip from a men's rights podcast, and then what is the context of having like the Minecraft clip below it? I've never seen these
tricks in it. So I remember when I first saw them, I was like, they're trying to trick kids into having bad opinions.
Oh, yes. I see.
And then what happened is I've found I'm the kids. I'm a person that's like, oh shit, I've been watching a lot of this.
Because you'll watch the
you're
gameplay.
Sucked into the gameplay video.
No, yeah. You start watching the gameplay, you don't realize what's going on, and then you'll hear like, what's your body count? And you're like, oh geez, okay.
It'll be the gameplay. It'll be like GTA, like the cars like flying through the air and doing insane jumps and stuff. Or it'll be not even video game stuff. It'll be that thing where it's like, I don't know what the texture is, but they'll have like a knife and they're cutting like soap or something.
Yeah,
and it's
I love
like
that.
It's like multicolored and like the texture is very interesting. It's basically stuff for like autistic guys to like.
Yeah, and it's working
because it's got like cool textures and stuff, and it really does work. But like that stuff, I don't think has audio with it. So yeah, you're watching that video and then you're hearing all the really bad stuff in the background.
Oh,
sort of.
So it's like a subliminal thing.
It takes a while for you to notice what the video you're hearing is.
Yeah. Yeah. Because the stuff itself is very interesting.
So what is your most controversial opinion now that you have?
I haven't gained opinions yet, but I've seen great stuff. I saw Andrew Tate try to fight a bee. That was a good one. I can't find the video again. You should find it because it's worth, because he's doing his thing where he's sitting there smoking.
Yeah.
And like having whiskey and talking about like not being a bitch, and a bee comes by. And he swats at it like you can't swat at a bee tough. So he does like the swat at the bee. And then the bee goes away. He goes, fucking bitch ass bee.
Oh my God.
The end of the video.
He's just like so physically like repulsive.
And I
want to
find it
like,
again. It's perfect. It's a great video.
I think he got arrested again, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah. Which is awesome. That's great.
You saw that on a GTA video.
This is how. So you watch the GTA videos and then you start getting Andrew Tate updates independently.
Right, of course.
He got arrested for he was trying to stream with some guy.
Uh-huh. Oh, was it Aiden Ross?
He was a total psycho as well.
Yeah.
So he's trying to stream with
Stefan and Dan, you guys are really on top of this.
Wow.
You're getting sucked in by the videos. I know them.
Yeah.
Aiden Ross is like really nuts because he should be killed. He's like 19 years old. I mean, Dan's the producer, so he can choose to edit that out if he wants, but it doesn't really matter.
I won't.
Because I agree with that. But he's like this like 20-year-old kid. He's so stupid, but he's like the most popular streamer. He streams on Kick, which is that like free speech, like super racist, like run by like crypto scammers.
I thought Kik was like a WhatsApp or something.
No,
it's a social media.
Oh, that's KIK, I think. This is KICK.
I see.
And it's like Twitch, but there's like all this like gambling and like crypto money behind it. And it's like super scammy and like really like all shit on there is like so bad. And he'll be just streaming like straight up. He'll be like watching porno and he just has a bunch of like kids watching him, right? So it's like really not good.
He just watches porno on
there? Because he's like, it's Kick, we can do whatever we want. He'll just watch porno on there. He'll, you know, it's really insane.
That sounds sick, actually. When's Go Off King's moving over there?
Well, probably not for like a couple of years, but
right. You're gonna wait for all the money to dry up and then go.
But Austin, have you seen the clip of Aiden Ross talking about fascism where he like can't read?
Yes. Oh my, fascism.
Yeah, he doesn't know how to sit. Like he's like so stupid.
Well, because he pulls up the Wikipedia page and like the second word, so the first word's fascism.
Yeah.
Struggles through that. And then this third word is like authoritarianism, I think.
Yeah. And he
says it worse than I just did by a lot.
Like, he misses it so
bad. He mispronounces literally half of the words in the paragraph.
Yes. Because I think he's trying to do a thing where, I mean, I don't even know what point he's trying to make, basically. But it's not,
If I'm remembering it right, he kind of does, to his credit, as much as he doesn't, he kind of at the end he goes, this does seem bad, but I don't think that's what we're talking about, or something like that.
Yeah, I because I think he like looks at like examples of fascists and like,
yeah, that's
and,
right.
And the first one is Hitler, and he's like, oh wait, this is bad. Oh my god.
It just occurred to him in that moment that was
he's really stupid. But yeah, him and I think he got Andrew Tate arrested accidentally because he like streamed something else.
Well, like, he said he was like, I have to go over to the stream with Andrew Tate because Andrew Tate's about to flee Romania to get away from this shit.
God.
And they arrested him.
Yeah, which is so funny. I mean, that's great. Every time he gets arrested, it is very, very funny. Man, yeah.
I'm kind of glad I don't know any of this. Like, you guys are talking about this, and I have no idea.
You are
idea.
Right
like,
to not know.
Like,
any
I'm aware
of
who Andrew Tate is.
Sure, sure.
This is the first time I've ever heard the name Aiden Ross.
That's good. Don't look into it any further than what
we've told
pretty, you.
I'm feeling pretty good right now.
Yeah, no. This is as much as you need to know, John.
I'm getting this not related to my social media update, but I've gotten into a really good place where. The other day I watched a couple videos in a row of kids with Down syndrome and autism doing like inspiring things. Yeah, and now that is strictly my algo. And I'm like, this is great for me. I'm in a really good place.
Those are awesome. The problem with those is there's a couple of those guys I watch, and they're great, but they have like a crowd of enemies that is mean to them. One guy I was watching, and I was like, oh, this is great. And then all of a sudden I see other people that they're just being mean to him on his videos. But they're like, you love this. His name's Kevin G. Like this little kid. He sings. It's very nice. But then he's got a whole community dedicated to hating him. And now I'm getting those videos because they're like, you're in the Kevin G algorithm.
I won't be doing that. I mean, I don't have TikTok. I'm strictly talking about Instagram. Yeah, so sure, maybe that helps because I've heard that TikTok is very just mean in general. Like a lot of people on TikTok are very mean.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair. Well, I mean, I'm seeing them bully a child that's disabled every day. So actually, correct. Yeah. Right. I don't know why I'm hedging my bets.
Well, to call that mean is a little bit harsh. But
maybe, you don't know how their day was, John.
That's true. Yeah, that is true.
Stefan, what's going on your social media?
Well, it's unclear. So this is former, I don't want to say friend of the show, but I've talked about him before. And I think I talked about him for a bonus episode because he blocked me a while back. This is Darren Revelle.
He's definitely not friend of the show.
No, well, yeah. Former
maybe
ESPN,
friend of you, but not friend of the show.
Sure. Former ESPN sports business reporter. I think he's on some other website now.
Yeah.
And he's like really awful and annoying.
He's
and
a psycho, yeah.
Posts the most insane shit. This is, I think maybe he does own this. I'm not 100% sure. Dan, if you could bring up the image here. This is so you can get sports tickets graded for like an event you went to. Let's say you went to like a Stanley Cup final game or something and you want to get it sort of framed and graded and everything to keep it forever. You can do that, which makes sense. Someone got, and I don't know if this is, I think probably is Darren Revelle's. He
seems
bought it
like
or something.
Him.
Yeah. So this is from Wednesday, March 11th, 2020, Oklahoma City versus Utah. This is the game where basically like COVID kind of started.
Yes.
And it 100%. Says it was graded near mint. It was an 8 out of 10 from Beckett grading. Oklahoma City Thunder, March 11th, 2020, Thunder versus Jazz. And then it describes like why this ticket is significant. Game canceled. Rudy Gobert positive COVID-19. Just what an insane thing to
how
keep.
Much are these going for? Do we have any insight on that?
Oh, I actually didn't look it up. We can,
is this
we can
like kind
track.
Of a nice looking ticket? Like, is that like for a suite or courtside?
Like,
or?
Yeah, this feels like a season's pass or something because it's like a plastic thing that you get like a lanyard sort of.
Yeah, it's got to be like courtside because it says row B, seat 4. So that's got to be right. The second. Yeah. If you're in that area, you probably have to wear this.
Yeah. I've sat
courtside before.
Yeah.
And
good for you, bitch.
Wow. Okay. well, it was, it was when I was with my ex and we were in Portland and my ex knew Jay Triano, who was assistant of the Portland Trailblazers at the time.
Yeah.
So, he hooked us up with seats, which we just assumed would be like, you know, decent, like lower bowl tickets.
Yeah.
And then they were courtside and, it's like fine, but you kind of can't see, like we were towards the back of the courtside and it's like, you can't really like, it's hard to see.
Yeah.
And you're very low. Like it was
it's
fine,
like, it's like sitting low at like a hockey game too.
It wasn't
right?
amazing. Like, it wasn't
it's cool
like,
when they're close up to you, but if they're the other end of the court or the ice or whatever, you have to look on the Jumbotron cause you can't really see.
Yes. So it was like fine, but I wouldn't say like, unless you're row one courtside, it was not. If I had to pay for those tickets, I would have been like, oh, I can't see half the shit going on here.
Yeah. I can't find any tickets on eBay, unfortunately. Mm. Although actually I can look at, sold items and we can see if one sold at one point.
Yeah. Like who wants to own, like, is that significant in a way where you'd want to own it?
I mean, I guess so. I can't see, let's see, Thunder Jazz ticket. Oh my God. How much, I don't know how much this sold for, but this is a reprint replica. They were asking, I think like 200 US, it was like 170 Canadian. And it says best offer accepted and you can't see what the offer was. But this wasn't even the real ticket. This was a replica one that someone bought. And I hope they bought it for substantially less. Cause that is insane. To ask,
I gotta have
much.
This in my man cave. That's, I gotta have it.
So crazy.
From the COVID game.
The audience for that's insane. Like, is it a guy that really liked COVID? Like, I don't understand.
Yeah. Who is like, I gotta have that?
It's really crazy.
Something Jesse would have on his wall.
As like a bit, because he does have the OJ Simpson signed jersey, right? So it seems like something DB would buy for him, maybe. But yeah, I can't find an actual graded one anywhere or a sale of it. So that does tell me that whether this was Darren Revelle or whoever's picture it is, they just had the ticket and got it graded themselves and then kept it. And that is
I went to the
so
last
crazy.
Canucks game before COVID. Should I have framed that ticket?
I mean, maybe, yeah.
It was the third last NHL game. Because there was two NHL games the night of the Rudy Gobert thing.
Yes.
And they both went ahead.
Right.
And then it was the next day that everything kind of shut down.
Right.
And I went to an NHL game the night before.
Right.
With past guest Adam Christie.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. No, so, I mean, I think like this one is obviously significant because you had the Rudy Gobert. This was like the day Rudy Gobert tested positive. Tom Hanks tested positive, all that stuff. So
didn't Rudy Gobert like lick the microphone or something?
Yeah. He was touching all the microphones and he was like, oh, COVID's not real. I don't know why I went to do a British accent because he's French.
And he's been demonetized on.
the microphones, they are, COVID is not real. Huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
I gave him a Quebecois accent.
That's
just
good.
That just to piss him off.
That's really good.
Yeah. COVID is not real. Huh? I don't know about it. I come to the game tonight. They say, Rudy, you're sick. We cannot play the game.
Anyway,
that's really good.
Thank you.
That's very good.
I spent some time in Quebec.
Yeah.
I remember that used to be an insult in Ontario that you would call it Quebec. Not
instead of Quebec.
Old like adults.
Yeah. It's very like Vietnam.
Yes, like, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Ah, you going over to Quebec? Okay. Calm down.
John,
well,
what's going on your social media?
Speaking of Canadians, you may have seen this week. Another friend of the show, hip hop artist Drake, went viral this week because he slid into a model's DMs by writing, "Your body is absolutely tea."
I did not see this.
You didn't see this?
No.
So the model thought that this was like hilarious and so screen capped it and it went viral because it's a very funny thing to say.
It's very not cool of her to do.
Well, okay, I guess. But anyway,
I think if it's Drake, it's okay.
Yeah. So I said, so I did a tweet where I said, time to take the tell your wife her body is absolutely tea challenge. So I just like texted Becca, your body is absolutely tea. And then she texted back, I don't think you're using that correctly. Go have a nap. And then a bunch of other people sent in really good ones. someone wrote your body is absolutely tea, and then his girlfriend just did the heart emoji.
Okay.
And then said, all I got over text was the heart, but in person she asked me, what dark corner of the internet did that terrible line come from? And then this one I really liked, where the their partner just completely ignored it and started talking about their garden.
Okay.
Because I guess they've had salamanders in their garden. So they wrote, your body is absolutely tea. And then they replied, pollinator meadow best management practices says yes, you can clean the patio. So that was a good one. We got another what the fuck are you saying to me.
Okay.
that was good.
Yeah.
We've got a few what does that mean, or just the question mark emoji. And then this one was the person wrote, what, this was for me, right? And they wrote back, yes, and what is your response?
Okay.
And they wrote, what does this mean? And then my favorite one was, someone was like, what are you saying to me? And then they were like, I'm just saying your body is absolutely tea. And then they wrote, Adam Levine ass text.
It is. I was gonna, that's who I was trying to think of, because that was the other person whose weird DMs came out.
What did he say again? What was the
was it your body is absolutely insane? What was it? It was like
Adam Levine DM.
I feel like his were embarrassing, but they were like, they're just like how all that stuff is usually embarrassing.
It was really horny, just corny, they? I think. It was corny, right? And corny.
It is truly unreal how fucking hot you are. Like, it blows my mind.
That body of yours is absurd.
Yeah, that's
good. That was the line.
It's fun. You can see that he's trying to think of new words to say.
Yes.
Like, he's like, crazy? No, I already said crazy. Absurd. It's an absurd body.
the second half of that DM is amazing. It is truly unreal how fucking hot you are. Like, it blows my mind. And then the girl wrote back, I mean, I think the same. Seeing you in person, I was like, I'm fucked. And then Adam Levine wrote, you are 50 times hotter in person, and so am I.
Oh my God.
Which, that is pretty sick. And then, holy fuck, holy fucking fuck, that body of yours is absurd.
Ah, dude.
Lara Croft.
That was obviously tweeted in, but oh my God. Oh, watching your ass jiggle on that table will permanently scar me, but otherwise I'm amazing.
Fuck, man.
That's good.
That's good. Boy.
Stefan, what's like the sexiest DM you've ever sent, would you say?
Probably something to JF, you know?
Something about like his hot ass?
Oh, yeah, his big hog or whatever, you know?
Yeah. Do you send love missives via DM, Austin?
No, I'm not really I feel like I'd have the Adam Levine problem. So every time I type something up, I go, hey, this is embarrassing.
And then you delete it.
Get rid of it immediately. Yeah.
Well, because you and your fiance, I mean, you guys have been together for a long time.
Yeah.
So is it, so, you know, the magic, I guess, is probably also gone a little bit.
I'm not trying to like text message things. I feel like I don't know. It's just wasn't my thing before. And it feels, every time I do it, it feels so forced.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Because I don't know how it usually starts. Like, I don't know if people that, when you start sending DMs, you get one first and then you're like, oh, I'll send one in, but I don't want to just start writing them now because it feels
right, like you guys are like 10 years in, you don't want to start.
I have no ideas from the past. I'd have to bring it up, start all new things.
Start with your body is absolutely tea.
And then
move on from there.
I'm writing all of these down.
Get them all in there, Dan. I mean, you're a single guy, you know, maybe you need some practice with the sort of sexy DMs.
So I just text my fiance right now, your body's 50 times hotter in person.
yes, you should.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, speaking of moving on, let's move on to our block tale.
What did you tweet? You brought receipts, block tale. Woo! No longer can see the post. It's a block tale. Woo! You probably deserved it. It's a block tale.
Okay, Austin, the floor is yours.
All right. So I'm not a big blocker, generally speaking. I'm a big muter, I'd say. Mm-hmm. Some people say it's like, because they're like, oh, I mute. I don't want to give them the satisfaction.
Yeah.
More for me, I want them to be, if they ever change their mind and say I'm good, I'd like that to come back to me. I didn't really see that. But so anyway, I don't block people much. I don't get blocked much because I don't really tweet acerbically at anybody. If I shoot stuff out, it's just sort of into the ether. But I have started posting stand-up clips on Reddit. And I have the Reddit people are very, I don't know if they're meaner than the TikTok people, but I'd say you will get a long lifespan on finding out mean things about you. So you'll get, you'll send it out, people, whatever, good jobs occasionally. And then 2 months later, you get one being like, this guy doesn't shower or whatever, which is one that I got. I used to have long hair and it was a little greasy, but so I got one of those. But the great thing about Reddit is you can, and Twitter's like this too. You can click on the name. Yes. And you can see everything they've ever done. So this guy was like, this guy's not funny. He's greasy. I had a hater out there. And then I clicked on it. And his second post before he's commenting on me was he was on a subreddit, which was r/ petite tits. So he's right. And that's honestly, I don't want to shame him. Like if you're into that, that's normal. That's a normal thing. But what he was doing is this comment he'd posted on somebody's thing was these aren't petite.
Oh, so he's just that type of guy.
He's policing the small tits.
You're too big. Is this a B cup? Get out of here. I can't have you on my petite tits forum. Oh,
so he caught a block from me. That was like the only guy in recent memory that I was like, I don't. Because the other thing is he didn't catch an immediate block. I was trying to see if he was saying anything else embarrassing to like make myself feel better. Because I got to say, it did feel good when he like was like, I don't like this guy. And other things I don't like are big tits. I was like, all right, this guy doesn't like cool stuff.
Oh my God. That's really good. Yeah. Reddit, really I feel good. Like is really good for that specifically because with Twitter, I do definitely remember, I forget. I had a thing where, if you found like a guy replying to CNN angrily and you clicked on his profile, he would be replying to like a porno bot. Or posting something like kind of weirdly horny within like five posts. Mm-hmm. And it seems like with Reddit, it's interesting because even before you see what the post is, you can just get a laugh from the subreddit that it was posted.
Yes, exactly. Oh, and you can see both posts and comments too. Yes. So you can be like, what is this guy actively going out there engaging in and what is he responding to?
Yes. Yeah. It's really good. That's, we don't get Reddit blocks that often. I think.
No, that's really good. Maybe I want to see, that was really good. I want to see if this is like a regular thing. If people are policing this in the,
we go. A lot of those types of subreddits, whether it's porno ones or it's just more ones for like very specific likes or dislikes, they will always have really strict rules at the top of the thing.
Yeah, what are the rules of the sub? Are they, is it specific? Like, is it like B cup or less on there?
It's a rule? It's gonna have rules on there for sure.
Okay, let's see. It says, I mean, I clicked on one post and I fucking hate everything that's happening here, but it does say, r/ petite tits rule. The number one rule is not petite. Not petite tits. This is all about girls with petite tits. Okay. We love tits of all kind, especially the small ones. So if you don't fit this criteria, then don't post
here. God. JF is going to be listening to this episode and just be like foaming at the mouth that he can't clip you for that.
Oh, yeah.
That's so good.
But this is really tough.
Oh, yeah. It's not good.
I don't like this. I hate this. I hate all parts of it. Just this subreddit's really.
Well, there was this a subreddit. Also, go ahead.
One of the rules is don't focus on genitals. This is not pussy/ass.
Right. That makes sense. It's petite tits. So yeah, it's in the name of the subreddit.
You guys are a bunch of freaks.
Boy. Really funny.
Yes. I'm not looking at the pictures.
Oh, look at the banner. The banner is great.
The banner is unbelievable. Yeah, it does. I didn't even notice that.
What is the banner?
Dan, you got to bring it up. It's so funny.
This is going to be on YouTube. I can't.
You can actually show the banner and the pictures. You have to
give me a second
if they're not safe for work. But this is so funny.
I'm really excited to see this.
Man. That is amazing.
It's really good, actually. I mean, it kind of embodies rule number one, I would say. Yeah, this guy was not.
Oh, boy.
I'm trying to figure out how to open just the banner because I do have the not safe for work filter turned off on Reddit.
Oh, I bet you do, Dan. Yeah. Okay, well. when you get there. And so this post, I mean, I just hate it, but this is a good, someone posted kiss my Irish tits for good luck.
Okay.
Cause it's St. Patrick's Day as sure. we're recording this. And then someone, the very first comment is, can I kiss your pussy too for extra good luck? So I'm already like, I'm out. Well, it's just like,
also, that's not what this sub's about. We already
it's not about that.
Yeah, we've established that. Yeah.
Really
Holy
bad.
Shit.
Yeah. Really bad. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's going to be possible for me to do this.
Dan, turn the fucking.
What if you like log out? Won't it turn?
I'll get it in an incognito browser. Okay. But it's all cropped because of the.
Jeez.
Reddit sucks so bad.
I know. You're doing your best, Dan. We appreciate it.
I'm not doing my best.
Okay. Well.
I believe in you.
Oh boy. Okay.
Like, this is like the best I can do, really. This is what it looks like.
You got to see the whole
thing. Can you right click on it and open it in a separate?
No, they do it as a CSS background.
Oh, okay.
And then when I try to load the image, it gives me a 403.
Right.
So.
Okay.
It is. So it's just, it's like hand drawn models. Just like, but more like, I
they're
guess
mannequin-esque.
Yeah, mannequin. Yes. That's a great way of describing it. With big tits, and it's got X's over them, and then it's got a mannequin with small tits, and it's got a big check mark.
Oh my God! And do not click on that first one, especially. Jesus Christ, yeah. Dan. All right. Oh boy, that's great.
Dan, you were supposed to click on it.
Jesus.
Okay, it's not on screen. I just got curious.
Okay.
I just got curious. Right.
Anyway, it's good to get a Reddit block. We haven't had one of those.
They aren't. I will say, like, there doesn't seem to be a lot of people policing like we've seen. So it kind of feels like, Austin, this guy you found was sort of a special guy that was just like, hey, get out of here.
I wanted to see if he was doing that on a regular basis, but the other stuff was like boring. It was just him being like, I like a Marvel show. Actually, it was kind of crazy because one of them was like, I like a Marvel show. My daughter likes it too. And I was like, that's crazy to do both these things from the same account. You need an alt.
Oh man, that's good. We have a great, a simple, I would say, block, listener block this week. This is from Ian. And Ian just writes, the subject model is just a British model. The subject line is a British model. Hello, everyone. Over the past year and a half, I've been doing a bit on Twitter about running a small plates and natural wine bar in Winnipeg. Mostly, I talk about natural wine, and I play a character who's a relentlessly positive sommelier constantly attacked by traditional wine enthusiasts. I look for people tweeting negatively about natural wine, and I quote them saying that they're paid agents of big wine companies. So I found a tweet from a woman in London who works as a model saying that in her experience, natural wine bars are homogenous and disliked by everyone she knows in the wine industry. So I responded by saying the exact opposite, that they are heterogeneous and that everyone I know in the wine industry loves them. She replied that we are two different people on two different continents with two different experiences. And I replied, but do we not share one experience, the human experience, and live on one planet, the human planet? Then I got blocked. Thank you. Love the show and everything you guys do, Ian. So very good, wow. Ian. It felt like a great bit.
I do like a bit.
It's a great bit, and it felt kind of like a bit of an old school Twitter. You know, you just say the opposite of everything they're saying, and then you get blocked.
Yep.
I love that. If you want to send in a listener block, you can do so by sending us an email at blocked@blockedparty.com. You can also donate to the show at patreon.com/blockparty, where $5 a month gets you access to 3 bonus episodes every single month. Last week, we posted a mailbag with Jacob Samuel that featured probably our dumbest answer to a mailbag question of all time.
Yep.
So make sure you check that out. And then this week, we've got a Canadian education episode coming out on the most watched Canadian miniseries of all time, The Arrow, which was about the Avro Arrow. So you can check that out. It's going to be on our Patreon. We also have ad-free episodes. If you're tired of listening to the ads, we have merch discounts and exclusive Discord. Check that all out. Patreon.com/blockparty. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at blockpartypod. We're on Blue Sky at blockparty. And if you want the video of this episode, it's over on our YouTube, youtube.com/@blockparty. And of course, if you like the show, please rate, review, tell a friend. All right, we are here at the end of the show. That means it's time for the top three.
3, 2, 1.
3, 2, 1.
Uno, 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 uno.
Mustard.
Three.
Socks.
Two.
Girlfriends.
Uno, 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 uno.
Austin, what are we top three-ing this week?
We're going to do top three places to eat a takeout meal.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Love that. Okay. Very good. Austin, your number three, please.
My number three is while walking.
Oh, really?
That's nice.
You okay. like a walking takeout meal.
It's not the best, obviously. It's not the most comfortable. But what I do like is if you're eating something messy, which is often a lot of times a takeout, you're eating a shawarma or something. What's great is if you can avoid it getting on your sleeves, it's just on the ground behind you. All the mess, you're walking by it. You're going by it. You're going by it. Got things to do. So I love walking and eating.
So I know how to find you. If I'm ever looking for you, I just look for the trail of Donair sauce and I will find you at the end.
It's like a hunter that blood trails things, but for a just like a bunch of garlic smell, I guess.
I feel like I almost never do this, like eat takeout while walking. I'm trying to think of the last time I would have even done that.
It's really only good for sandwiches, and it's not even, I wouldn't say it's good for sandwiches. It's just doable with sandwiches or a hot dog as well.
Yeah. Hot dog. Yeah. Maybe that's the last time would be like when I'm golfing, like getting like a hot dog while I'm golfing. And then you're kind of just like eating it while you're walking.
Or at like a Canucks game, going to the Costco, getting a hot dog, walking over to the game kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I like that. Okay.
I like that too. Stefan, you're number three.
I would say if you're on like a road trip or something and you're just stopping at like a McDonald's and you're eating it in the car, or just like outside or whatever. I'd say eating it in the car, I guess, to technically make it takeout at that point. So I'd say in a car on a road trip, always nice. And you're not reviewing it, to be clear, because that's something we talked about a lot here is people reviewing fast food in their cars. There's no review aspect happening.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to go number three. I am also going to say in a car, kind of the classic, not on a road trip, just like you stop, you need something on the way to something, and then you're just slamming food in the car. Again, it's kind of like walking. It's not ideal. It's not the best place to be eating because you're also driving at the same time. And chances are good spilling shit on yourself.
Yeah, I've destroyed so many pants eating in my car.
Yes, it's not good, but it is good in a way where you're just like, I just got to get something down. Time is of the essence. It's just sort of a classic way to consume takeout, I would say. So that's my number three, driving. Austin, your number two.
My number two is a park.
Okay.
Ooh, okay.
It's good. I like a park. I like it a lot. It can be number one if the circumstances are right. If the weather's good and there's a free table, that might be number one, but it's unpredictable. If it's windy, could be a disaster. It's got fries everywhere.
Yeah.
If it's too cold, not great. The worst is if it's kind of dark and a bit scary. That I don't like at all. I would much rather be safe than at a kind of dark.
When are you eating takeout when it's kind of dark and a little bit scary? Can you think of an example?
Yeah. It's in Toronto and it was windy too. And it was late enough. Staying at a friend's house, so I didn't want to go interrupt them. They weren't working, but they were doing something.
Yeah. Sex.
No, I think it was a, honestly, I think it was a D&D game on Zoom is what they were doing.
So the opposite of sex.
Yeah, well, you know, you can roll the dice for that, I think. And so I went to this park and it was dark. I was like, this will be nice. Go to the park, watch the sunset. Don't know why I thought that. Because it was just dark and windy and scary. And I got, you know, rice all over the place.
I feel like the windy sucks too if you're eating a fast food with a wrapper. Because then it's like the wrapper might blow away. So you're like rushing to put your burger or whatever like back on the wrapper after you eat it. And like,
you ever put your burger on the wrapper and then the wrapper sails the burger? You're like, I thought the weight of the burger would be enough. But
terrible.
Not always.
Yeah. No, I agree. Okay. Stefan, you're number two.
I'll say classic takeout on like a Friday and you're sitting on the couch and you're watching a movie or a TV show or something. That's nice. That's a classic for a reason. Usually, you know, pizza or sushi or something, but on a takeout on a Friday, watching TV.
That is it's a good answer. We're sort of mirroring each other here, Stefan. So I'll take it another route.
Okay.
Not that I would have basically said what you said, but to be fair, I have not done this very much because you'll know why in 1 second, but eating fast food in a movie theater or like takeout in a movie theater.
Ooh,
haven't done it too often, but I remember I'm old enough that I remember it. I believe it was Burger King was the first like fast food thing to be inside the movie theater.
Like Scotiabank or like Silver City, I think would have.
It was one of those.
Yeah.
And that genuinely felt like we are living in the future. It's like before I could only get popcorn. It's like now you're telling me I can go to the movies and I can have a Whopper combo while I'm watching this movie. That is crazy. So yeah, obviously the novelty has worn off and I go to the movie theaters once every 2 years. So this, it doesn't really apply to me, but I just, that initial moment, I used to go to the movies a lot more when I was younger, that just that initial, I can have a fast food burger while I'm watching this movie felt life changing. So that's my number two. Austin, your number one.
My number one, simple, classic at home. I love at home. Predictable. It's never, there's never going to be wind, never going to be temperature concerns. Watch whatever I want. There is a table. Cause that's, John, both your places, there's no table. And I fucked up so many pants. I'm a terrible eater.
Right.
So I don't know what your pant budget is or if you just have figured something out. But I haven't. But I need a table.
I'm just a little older than, I'm a little more mature than you, Austin.
Oh, man. I thought I'd stop fucking up pants by now. But I'm still 30 and I'm still destroying pants on a regular basis. So at home will be my number one.
Yeah, that's a good call.
All right.
That's a good call. Stefan, you're number one.
It's at home, specifically at my like work area, sitting at the desk doing
so
work.
So two of yours are at your house?
Yeah.
One is just like watching
they're
TV.
Different and areas of the house. One is like, it's fine. Like I'm working, you know, doing work or whatever. And then it's like lunch and I
doing
order, like,
work.
Well, you know, work for the stream or the podcast. You know what I mean?
When like, was that? When have you done work for the podcast?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Can you be a little more specific, please?
I've written some like bits for the pod before.
I guess that is true.
Yeah, so that counts, I think.
Yeah,
as work.
I guess so. Yeah.
So yeah, doing that, and then like eating like a big ass burrito or something is really nice. You know, eating a burrito at your computer, nothing better.
Yeah,
that's I would say I eat like 95% of my meals at my computer.
Yeah. So. It's a great place to eat because your computer's there.
There's no denying that.
Yeah.
My number one, very specific. And I feel like this is because I grew up in a beach town. In a beach town. But it's got to be fish and chips on the beach.
That's great.
That is just that's a standard. I grew up in White Rock, BC.
Yeah.
Which is
Jericho Beach. Great for that also.
Yes. I mean, White Rock has amazing fish and chips. There's a really great place there. My favorite called Montgomery's Cottage Lunch. If you're ever in the neighborhood, that's the best fish and chips on the beach. People will tell you it's Moby Dick and they are fucking wrong. Montgomery's, if you're ever down there, but you get the fish and chips, they give it to you in the like little box, you know, like the half cardboard box or whatever. You walk it over to the beach, eat some fish and chips, the salty air blows on you. It's
that
a great
is
time.
Very nice. That's great. And it's I mean, it was a beach weekend this weekend in Vancouver. It's like 20 degrees and sunny. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. Awesome. It's warm here even. It's like plus 15 today, I think, or something. Damn, like that. Like it's warm. It's beautiful. Beautiful and sunny. So yeah, I mean, Calgary fish and chips, I probably won't.
Oh, you should have it.
It's
fine. I mean, they're fine. They can freeze fish and bring it over here.
Yeah, I mean,
fish and chips is good for that on a beach because you like looking at the ocean. You're like, this, they made it for me.
They pulled these sea potatoes out of the ocean, and it's beautiful. Yeah, that's got to be my number one. I'm hungry now. That was
Me too.
That was a good top
three. I'm gonna have to eat like 2 dozen cupcakes after this on stream. So.
Oh yeah, that is really stupid.
I don't know, dude.
What is the cupcake connection? Is there like
the cake is a lie, you know, from Portal.
What is that? Is that from Portal?
Okay. From Portal. So every time we die in Portal 2, we're gonna eat a cupcake.
I figured there was some kind of connection to cupcakes with Portal specifically, but I've never played Portal, so I didn't know.
That I believe is the connection.
Are you eating mini cupcakes or a full cupcake?
I got some full ones and then some mini ones, and I'm planning on playing very cautiously, John.
You should, because that is so to fill stupid. You in, Austin. Yeah. They're playing Portal. On their stream, and every time they die, they have to eat a cupcake.
Yeah.
Do you die a lot in Portal? I feel like when I played it, it's not a big dying.
I think with co-op, it's a lot easier to die, and you can like fuck with the other person by like using like the puzzles to like kill them.
Oh, so you
can
make each other throw up. That'll
I think that is probably what's going to happen. So yeah,
I could do that easily.
Make Stefan throw up.
No, eat a bunch of cupcakes.
Wow. Well, I hope you have fun with that, Stefan.
Thank you. Thanks,
Austin, for being here. Great to have you on the show. Before we go, anything you'd like to plug?
Just follow me on the social media accounts. So Instagram or TikTok are probably the two best ones. I post stand-up clips not very often, but they are up there. It's just my name. So if you look at the episode description, it's just my name is the handle.
Austin Lonneberg. And I'll get it right. I won't sewer you with the Lonneberg. I've noticed since I've moved to Calgary, a lot of the MCs will say Austin Lonneberg.
Yeah, no one gets it right. But I don't.
I'm like, that's bullshit. Learn the guy's name. He's been doing stand up here for like a fucking decade. Figure your shit out.
Yep.
Anyway, that's just my pet peeve with Calgary comedy so far.
Thanks, John.
On behalf of you. thank you, everybody, for listening to the show. We love you and appreciate you. Again, you can donate to the show, patreon.com/blockparty. You can follow the show, Block Party Pod, on most things. This video is available on YouTube at Block Party. And look, we'll see you back here next week. Goodbye.
Bye.